Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I am so excited to be sharing somebody really, really special with all of you today. And no, it's not Dan. Today we actually have a really, really, really amazing soul. His name is Brandon Bozarth. He is half man, half alien in a lot of ways. But more so, he's actually the founder of IIST and he's a global retreat facilitator. And how we actually met was originally through one of the retreats that he hosted with one of the last podcast experts we brought on, Nathaniel Solis. And he and Nathaniel together just have an epic, epic presence. And if you ever have the opportunity to really connect with these epic humans in real life, you'll just feel the energy that they bring and what they cultivate. It's pretty magical. So without further ado, I am happy to welcome you all, or welcome Brandon to the show.
Thank you, Sophie. That was the most awesomest, that's a word, introduction I think I've ever had. It's funny because the whole half alien thing, that was actually the first time anyone has said that. So I'm honored.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Doesn't mean technically we're all half, you know, part alien, but well, that's a different podcast.
We'll dive into that on a new one. Yeah, well, I think I'm just so excited to dive into this because really what the biggest piece I see you and Nathaniel and just the movement that you carry comes so much more from a place of leading from your heart, leading from intuition and leading from intention and just coming from such a grounded presence. And it's just so highly reflected in everything that you do. And I think one of the pieces that really stood out for me when we connected at the retreat was really coming from the term of doing what's in your highest excitement, right?
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to just share really where this came to be and how this has shown up in your own life and how this has really cultivated everything that you've created.
Yeah, really good question. So your highest excitement, and I've been choosing to live this way for the last 5 years now. And when I was exposed and when I started understanding the information around excitement and passion and how even our ancient sages have said things like, follow your bliss. Jesus would say, you know, he was symbolized by a burning heart, a heart on fire. What is that? It's passion. Mm-hmm. And how passion and excitement isn't only the doorway to the path of least resistance and the highest expression of yourself, but it's also the doorway of your connection with source. And from that connection, there's so much information and insight and intuition available that will support you in allowing the self-organization of that energy to figure out the how and to do all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. And so when I started implementing this, I guess, natural way of living, it's not really normal in today's society, which is the funniest thing. We are in a process of relearning how to live in the most natural way possible, which to so many people feels foreign, but it's actually the most natural thing. Like we've been born into a society where we have to unlearn the most unnatural way to live. And for some reason to most people, that seems strange, different, or weird, or esoteric, or spiritual. But really, it's how, even our biology tells us this, it's how we are designed to live. Mm. It's actually what it means to be human. To be fully human is to honor the physical and non-physical aspects of ourselves and let them work in consort so we can actually function in the way we were designed, which is to act in our excitement and in every moment. And even that idea, I could say to some people, so do you act in your excitement in every moment and your passion in every moment? And you can mentally, you may think, well, that would look like I'm running around all the time like, oh my God, I'm excited about going to the bathroom. Like, you know, it doesn't look like that. Sometimes it's like a very calm, centered, well, I'm excited to go take a nap. That's out of all my options available, the one that I'm magnetized to most. Mm. And there's so many layers and perspectives to it. And that's what I've been learning over the years. The laws and what I've been sharing hasn't really changed, but my perspective and understanding and how I've extrapolated it to understand it more and more in my life from my own experience has really changed. And so it's such a big conversation, but really the basics are, and how it showed up in my life initially, is when I ended up leaving a sales position as the number one earner, which sounds way cooler than it was. I was making like $4,000 or $5,000 a month residually in this really small company, but we were taking it off the ground, and I was working right with the CEO, and there was a future there. And I realized when I got to a certain point that it's just not who I was. My excitement changed. It moved. It said, okay, you're done here. You've learned everything you need to learn here. There's something greater for you. And so I allowed myself for a couple months to kind of resist that. I'm just going to stay. It makes more sense. There's safety, there's security here. But over time, that's going to eat you alive, right? It'll just drain your energy. So it takes way more energy to be someone you're not than to be yourself. And so my energy is starting to be drained, and I say, okay, I'm going to act on my excitement fully, fully surrender. And how I did that was I cut off that income and I said, well, what's my highest excitement? And through my imagination, all I could come up with was doing Facebook Lives, starting a newsletter, and going to the gym. Like, obviously, there's no money making in that equation. So logically, it's like, what are you doing? How can you be supported? But I knew, and what I've learned, I wanted to put what I've learned to the test. I wanted to go from belief to knowing. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to face anything that comes up, and I'm just going to commit. I have no idea how I'm going to be supported. I was living on the East Coast at the time. A month into it, a check showed up at my door for $1,800 from a court case that settled 5 years prior that paid all my bills. Random court case. I go, oh, wow, it's kind of like that movie, The Secret. You know, it's like, think positive, then money shows up. So that was like my first, okay, I get it. I'm being supported in unexpected ways. That next month, as I continued to act on my excitement, I put a newsletter out, and the newsletter ended up landing in the inbox of a woman moments before she was going to take her life. And she was going to take some sleeping pills and then go into the ocean and go to sleep. And she's very intuitive as well. And she got this hit from source, hey, turn on the radio. So luckily she acted on her excitement in that moment. Okay, I'll turn on the radio. And a song played, and the song said word for word, you should stay a little bit longer. And then in that next moment, she received my email, which I entitled, I'm excited to die. And it was a funny way of me saying, yes, when we die, we leave behind all the worry, doubt, fear, guilt, and shame, but we don't have to die to experience what the other side can be like now. So here's some things you can do to feel better. Long story short, we got on a call and she became my first client, which I totally just made up of a number on the call. How much do you charge? Oh, well, typically, because I've done this so much, typically like this much money. And she said, okay, I'm all in. And she became my first client. At the time, I had no idea what coaching was, but I started witnessing this self-organization. I did very little and things kept showing up. And eventually I decided to allow that synchronicity to inform me of where I need to go versus me believing it's this way or that way. I said, oh, I guess it's this coaching thing. Let me go into that more, and decided to open that up. And that led me to going to LA, hiring my own coach, sleeping on his couch, launching my first group program and first retreat. And then, you know, now we're here. So I guess I say that to say that entire journey was so inconceivable. When I was on the East Coast, the last thing I was thinking of is, oh, maybe the way that I'll really be able to be supported in my excitement is through an email that some woman across the world gets, and then I'll find this coach and sleep on his couch. Like, I didn't need to know any of that. And so I talk about following your excitement with no sort of insistence or expectation or idea of what has to come, because I've proven to myself that that is the path of least resistance, and there's so much abundance and support in that energy.
I love that on so many levels. And I feel for a lot of the people tuning into this episode specifically, what comes up, and I know for a lot of the clients that I work with too, it's like this fear of trusting and surrendering. And that's really what has to happen in this process, because sometimes what's in your highest excitement, just like you mentioned, is completely logical and completely irrational. And it's kind of like going against everything that you would normally think is what you need to do. And now you're like, oh, shit, let me actually tune down and like tune into what feels good versus what I'm supposed to be doing based off of somebody else's rule book of what needs to be. And I think that this is a huge piece of what shows up for a lot of us who are creatives, who are intuitives, who do tend to step into the entrepreneurial space, who are looking for that model of certainty, right? Whose model can I follow that's going to give me the most certainty that I'm going to achieve this level of comfortability of what I think I need to be able to give it the highest level? And yeah, one of the things that's been really interesting to tune into lately, self included, is, oh, even though this model may quote unquote work from the perspective of, yes, it's generating a high amount of clients and high amount of sales and easy, you can easily scale. And we've done this with multiple businesses to easy multiple six figures and some seven figure companies. But at the end of the day, when you actually look inside and we start to change like the measurements of success, because if we're only measuring by the stick of how many sales are you making and how much money is coming in and how many people are you quote unquote servicing, sure. But when we actually go inside and we look at how you're living on a day to day and you see the level of stress and the level of angst and how much frustration and tension is in the body because you don't have the spaciousness or time or energy to actually give to you, then it's really, really hard. And it becomes like almost this hamster wheel where you're constantly having to chase the next level of success. You're constantly having to chase the next achievement. And it becomes an addiction because you almost feel like you have to in order to sustain what is, when really the harder it gets, it's just universe source trying to tell you that, hey, maybe this just isn't for you. Maybe there's a better way to do this. And I think a lot of us are in a season right now where we're kind of tuning into, well, shoot, like, what do I actually want? What do I actually really want to lean into? And what feels most exciting and also feels good for me?
Yeah, that's so good. And man, there's so many things that I want to expand on that. But what feels most relevant is this idea that true fulfillment, or I'll start with this. True success, in my definition, is the ability to be myself. And when I look at being myself, am I being myself? Well, one way to look at self is source expressing life freely. What does that mean? That means that I am in every moment allowing myself to act on my highest passion and excitement. And that's just who I am. Because again, passion and excitement is a communication from your higher mind. And it's saying, this thing is most you. It's not saying this is the best option. Well, it is by side effect. But the main thing that it's saying is, you have a true core signature frequency, a stamp of God, you could even call it. And it's the white light that we all share, but all of ours is a slightly different frequency representing a different aspect of source, right? Unconditional love is always going to be in there. One might be representing grace a little more. One might be expressing service a little more, gratitude, who knows? But we all have these different frequencies, right? Our core frequency. And that's white. That never changes. That's the one thing about us that never changes. What changes is how much of it we express. This is actually what auras are. And so if you can actually have an aura of all white light, but you probably wouldn't be physical because it's such a high frequency, you're gone. So when you see something or feel something that's exciting, what that actually means is, oh, that thing is a holographic representation or a symbol of something that is very similar to who I really am. And that's why really dissolving the boundaries between business and personal life is really important. And it's actually something that's automatic unless you believe they're separate. So when there's no separation between what I do, the service I provide, and who I am, then you simply are who you are in every moment. There's no definition of, now I'm being a coach, now I'm being this, now. Yeah, you can express different aspects of yourself, but it doesn't feel like it's separate. It just feels like you are being yourself in all areas of your life. And it may change how it shows up, but that's my definition of success. Am I expressing and giving myself the ability to be myself? If I am, that will always create fulfillment. And there's actually seven basic needs that create fulfillment. And I'm in the process now of, for IIST Volume 2, taking these seven needs to the like thrival needs. So like the survival and thrival needs, but the survival needs to create fulfillment, five of them are just based on physicality. It's air, water, sleep, food, shelter. Okay, and then what are these two? Well, this is our spiritual fulfillment, creativity and connection. And so if I have these five taken care of, which most people do, and then really the only thing I actually want, even if I think I want money, the only thing I actually want are these two things. Creativity is this idea of acting on your excitement and allowing yourself to express your passion and creativity. Connection is your ability to connect with yourself, source, and other people, but mainly something, quote, outside of yourself. But it could even be a rock. It doesn't have to be a person. Any sort of reflection that is outside of ourself gives us a contrast, gives us a perspective, and through that thing, we can know ourselves deeper. And so that's really the main function. And in that connection of knowing ourselves through an other, there's love that's created, there's connection, there's appreciation and all these ideas. And so these will create the spiritual fulfillment, and combined with these five, you'll never feel like when you have these seven checked off, you'll never feel like you need more than you already have. And that is really the trick, you could say, is to feel so complete in this moment that you don't really have any wants. You might be aware of what you need, and it's these seven things. And then as you move through life, there's going to be other things that you need to continue to be yourself. And that might be, if I want to call you Sophie, I might need this phone for a minute. And need gets such a bad rap. Need's not a word of scarcity. It can be, but there's actual certain needs that are, okay, well, if I want to book this flight, I either need money or I need a gift, someone to gift me a ticket. If I want to get there, I need to get on a flight. And so if that's the actual synchronicity that you need to act on your excitement, you'll always get what you need. But a lot of times we confuse our needs with our wants. And a lot of time our wants are coming from negative ego and scarcity. I just want more money to have in my bank just to hang out there. Well, why? Because I feel, you know, everyone needs a savings just in case something bad happens. Really? Who told you that? What's bad? Right? What if there bad wasn't in your dictionary? What if you'd had no definition of bad and you had no fear or charge around bad? Then the paradox is you probably won't ever need to experience something that would require a savings, right? And then the paradox is you'll probably have a savings. So it's just so funny, you know, but to tie that all together, when we want what we need, then we'll always get what we need. If we're going to want anything, let's want what we actually need to continue to actually be ourselves, express our excitement and passion, which this can, for some people, take a higher level of discernment. Being able to discern, is this thing exciting? Or am I just telling myself this thing is exciting because if I don't do it, I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to have to face something else. And this is actually helping me avoid my fear. I'm just saying exciting because I don't want to face it. So there is discernment. There is self-honesty. And the excitement will also always lead you into the unknown. Always, always, always. And that will always bring up beliefs. Negative unconscious beliefs, but that is a good thing. That means you're now ready to look at them, let them go, and then all that energy that may have been siphoning off can now be redirected into your passion in a more powerful way.
So potent. Oh gosh. I'm just over here nodding my head like, yes, yes. And I feel like one of the pieces that really stands out with everything that you're sharing is, for me, it's almost been like this process of realizing like, oh, the more that I quote unquote have as far as like the perceived financial abundance or financial freedom or all of these perceived things of value, it's been interesting to look at that and see how that almost creates more and more separation because it's disconnecting and it's distracting me from actually being able to fully connect with myself. And what's been interesting is arriving in a place where it's been more about, oh, I actually just want to slow down and simplify and really tune back in because I'm realizing the faster that I'm going and the further that I'm getting, the more disconnected I'm feeling to what really matters, right? And so it's almost been this paradoxical process of, oh, okay, the more quote unquote perceived successful I become in business or in all of these other things, the more that I'm realizing that I actually just want to have a really, really simple life.
Well, you know what? I think that's a highly evolved state of being that you're accessing because really the nature of the universe is simple, right? There's five observable laws. That's it. And then it's just a combination of them. And so it's pretty simple. Everything is here and now, right? What you put out is what you get back. the all is one, the one is all. There's some simple principles, but it's so complex in how it can be expressed. There's infinite ways it can be expressed, infinite perspectives and these sort of ideas. So I do feel like there is a, it's almost like a stage of consciousness that you enter where you go, you know what? I don't need what I think I used to need anymore. And because of that, I can live more simply, more in harmony with nature, only really needing or using or consuming what I need to live in my passion and be fulfilled. And when we actually look at what we need, it's very simple. And I don't want people to think that being humble in this way, don't confuse being humble with self-depreciation. Because if you have a very exciting idea of how you want to live, and it's genuine, and it's coming from sheer passion and excitement, even if it is extravagant, then that's where you're supposed to go. Even if it doesn't end up going that way, that's still there for a reason to be explored. And so I love nice things, and I love pristine and clean and the white, and I love that vibe. It's just what I'm attracted to. And so if I do want to simplify, that won't take away from my preference, because we still get to honor our preferences. This is what I prefer. A preference is very different than a need, meaning if I don't get what I prefer, then that's fine. But if I feel like I need what I prefer, then, you know, a preference is like having two different cups of coffee and then they go, which one do you like better? And you go, oh, I like this one. That doesn't mean you hate the other. That doesn't mean you're triggered that the other one was there, right? That doesn't mean that you have a limiting belief about the other one. Just, oh, that's just my preference. The very simple choice usually. And then if that was taken away and there was that one cup left, oh, I couldn't get the one I prefer. Okay, this one's second best. That's great. Again, there's not too much of an emotional process there. So it's still about owning our preferences and then allowing what we truly need to show up, right? Because excitement is holistic. It's not just about saying, well, how do I want to express my gifts? It's about where and with who and in what way, you know, and taking all those questions into consideration. That will build the energy of whatever it is you're giving to the world in such a potent way that it's what you'll think about right in the morning. It's what will be on your heart all the time. And that will create automatic consistency, automatic creativity, automatic flow versus trying to go learn how to be consistent and how to create all these practices to get into flow. That is also a self-built-in mechanism of excitement and passion. You'll attract what you need, even if it is rituals, even if it is books or whatever. Yeah, you'll attract those things, but acting on the passion alone puts you into the gamma frequency. It puts you into that state where you're already the end result of processes and rituals. You can access, you become an electromagnetic conductor at a really high rate and process information very quickly. And so when you act on that, your brain, if you're open and there's no limitation on this possibility, can download information that you were unaware of. People call it channeling or intuition or downloads, whatever it may be. But you can, if you're open to that, receive all you need through your own higher mind. It just so happens that because we live in a physical reality, sometimes it's easier to get it from the guy next to you, that it comes out of his mouth at the coffee shop or the girl next to you, and you overhear it because that was easier than, you know, fighting your belief system that you can just download all the information you need. So the universe will always take the path of least resistance and go, oh, well, based on this person's belief system, they need a podcast to understand this principle to move forward. They need a book, they need a ritual. It's all equal. It's just the way that the universe says, how can I give you what you need? But there's infinite ways that that can happen. And it's all accessed through passion and excitement.
I love this. What's coming through is almost this idea of, for a lot of clients that I've worked with, and even like what I've had to process many times, is feeling like it's this need of, okay, I need to do these things in order to activate this part of me, or to be this type of person, or to feel this type of way. And I feel like that's where a lot of our motivation comes from. There's this belief that what we want is on the other side of a certain behavior or a certain action or doing something. And inside of that, there's the separation, because we're not believing that that's already in us. And so it's interesting, because for a lot of you following me, you know, I teach a lot of things around business and marketing, and there's a lot that goes into that. But really, at the end of the day, the process and the systems for this are fairly similar to any type of business and marketing program that you go to. The difference that I've seen after working with so many different entrepreneurs over the years, and I'm sure Brandon for you as well, is it all just comes down to the energetic frequency of how this person actually shows up and what they do. And what's so funny is I can have a client who's doing everything verbatim to the T as far as all of the marketing and all of the business strategies and is frustrated from the perspective of why is none of it working? I want it all to work. And they're coming from a place of frustration, of not honoring themselves, of not honoring their needs, and trying to come from a place of doing, to where another person who shows up less consistently in the sense of maybe they're not doing all of the things, they're only doing the things that really excite them. And in doing those things that really excite them in a way that feels really good and honoring themselves and feeling really good in their body and really loving who they are, they actually create such higher results inside of their business. And I think the interesting piece to reflect on here is that at the end of all of this, it really comes back to the what you're talking about, like this energetic state of being and the vibrational frequency that you're carrying. And one of the pieces that I've loved tuning into most recently is how are you choosing to build whatever it is you're building around your state of being, meaning that your embodiment of who you want to be and the energetic frequency that you want to carry and that part of you that you want to activate needs to come first before you step into doing anything else.
That's so huge. And for all my clients, that's our very first conversation is, okay, at the end of, you know, the 3 or 6 months, and then because time is a whole nother subject, but time, I don't factor time into any sort of goal setting. So when I talk about, hey, what's our 3 or 6 month goal? It's, oh, and by the way, this can manifest tomorrow or not at all. And if it doesn't manifest, that means something greater will manifest. So can we get on that same wavelength of not anchoring us into time? Because then we're limiting it to something that we create. So if we say this is a 3 month goal, we're locking it into a 3 month goal, not a 2 month, right? And we're also saying, if we also say, this is the goal and this is the way that it needs to go in order for this relationship to be successful, then we're also saying something greater than this wouldn't make us successful. So we're saying this is the pinnacle of success, which means we're also saying we believe we know what the best future possible outcome is. And that is ignorance, because our brain is literally not designed to know. So it's all well and good to have a goal and a symbol and hold that, as long as built within that plan and structure is the option for something greater to occur. So it's the flexibility. It's being in the balance point of it, right? And so what you said, this idea of getting the energetics locked in, this is so, so, so important. One of my clients, her name is Kleena. She, when we met, she said, I just finished this coaching course. There's some spiritual aspects and some other components that weren't really in there. So I really want to connect with you. And so we teamed up and I said, where do you want to start? What's the most exciting thing you can imagine happening at the end of the 3 months that we worked together? She said, well, I want to speak on stages in front of hundreds of people. And I go, great. Okay, we'll start there. And she goes, well, don't I need to like at least coach someone first? And I go, was that like the 11th commandment that we forgot to read? Like, is that some sort of in stone law that that's where you have to start? And no. I said, okay, so we have to start at your highest level of excitement. And this goes for everyone. This is why back in the 90s, people wrote books like The Power of Thinking Big. What that actually means is the power of acting on your excitement. Because there is no such thing as big or small. There's just excitement or not in different variations. And so, okay, what's the most exciting symbol that you can muster up? Very important here to have a belief that your imagination can give you all the answers. So you might need to stretch your imagination and really sit. This is a feminine practice to sit and imagine and download and bring through, because your imagination is like the phone call telephone line to your higher mind. And your higher mind can see outside of the forest while you're inside of the trees. And you can say, oh, over there, go over there. Oh, something good is coming up, turn left. So you're calling up your higher mind and saying, okay, what symbol can you give me to guide me so I can take action in a certain direction right now? Ooh, we're a step on stage and da-da-da-da-da. So we downloaded all that information and built it to its absolute peak. And this is where good questions come in. What's the highest version of the expression that you call coaching? How do you want to give that? Or that you call consulting, whatever it may be. Number two, what kind of experience would you like to give to your people? And that puts you in their shoes and you can start bringing more through. and just get creative with what kind of questions can evoke more excitement and passion. When it feels like it is at its absolute peak, and this could take an hour to really sit and really ask more questions. Oh man, is there any other thing I'm not considering that maybe I think is ridiculous or limited or unrealistic that I'm not considering? Can I bring those in? Okay, I do. Now I have this full, complete picture that I'm like vibrating about. Now I'm ready to go. And as soon as that symbol's there, that's like the future symbol. Then you go, okay, what right in the now is the action step that feels the closest to this symbol? And it might not feel exactly the same because maybe there's not an available next step. Maybe you can't book the venue yet. Maybe there's not a direct next step towards this. And if there's not, that's okay. There is some sort of step that still contains the energy of this. And it could be going on a walk. It could be going to a movie. It doesn't matter what it is. It's more about learning to live from your heart. And so you go, okay, well, what feels, well, out of all the options available to me now, is there one available in that direction? What would be my next first step? And that's all you ever need to do, because that step will lead to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one, even if they look unrelated. And as long as you're flexible and you're holding that intention, then you're allowing for the path to reveal itself. And it's usually very different than the path that you believe. So it's great and it's fine to have a plan, as long as the plan contains within it a plan for the plan to not go to plan.
I love this. The paradox that we're diving into right now. And it's, I think this is such a beautiful thing, because it really is, the way that I perceive it is, it really is a practice of surrender and to trust and to just lean into what really is guiding you and to allow that to be fully expressed through you. And really it's like, it's almost a process of getting out of your own way. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think inside of that, the piece that we can kind of start to wrap up here with is how doing this actually creates you consistently living in a state of abundance, and what that actually means, and what abundance actually is, and what that actually feels like. So I'd love to get your perspective on all of that.
Yeah, I love that. And first thing I want to say, you said the word trust and surrender. So how we define these words creates our experience of them. And so our definitions, where I'm feeling that in the next 10 years, we're going to have a very different dictionary. We're going to have new words invented, because think about our relationship to time. We say things like future and past, but we know they don't exist. So these sort of things, as science comes through and the mainstream starts understanding some of these principles, we'll need new words, or we'll at least need to learn how to redefine them. So trust, right? Like, try for a second, Sophie, to like trust more. It's like, did I do it? You know, how do you say to someone, you need to learn to trust more? What is the actual doing? How do they go, okay, how do I do that? Just do it. Just believe it, right? So the real way to create the trust that you need to have is to look at, not to believe that you're lacking trust, but to see what you're trusting in that may represent lack. So if we're having trouble surrendering, in the sense of, and all surrendering really is not giving up control. It's giving up to the control we already have, because we're not designed to know what's coming. We're not designed to control the outcomes. We're only designed to be here and now. And when we actually surrender to that, the paradox is we feel even more in control, because now we're not trying to do a job we're not designed to do, which always results in us feeling out of control. So when we let go of that, we let synchronicity and this self-organizing principle start to work, and we allow ourselves to get in that flow of momentum, we feel more in control, because we know we don't need to know what's happening, and we can let that go and come right back into the now, into this energy of passion and excitement. You'll show yourself evidence of the support as you do that. That'll just be something that you will learn to know is there for you, that sort of unconditional support. So first of all, it's about, if you feel like, well, I can't fully trust that, ask yourself, well, what are you trusting in that will happen that is negative? And so it's not that you lack trust, it's that you're trusting that something negative is more likely to happen than something positive. So what is that? And a great question to ask is, if you actually did fully surrender, what's the scariest thing you can imagine happening? That will usually trigger the fearful belief or idea that then you can root back and say, okay, I'm afraid of you know, am I afraid of being homeless? Am I afraid of, I just won't be supported and all my friends will hate me? Am I afraid of being humiliated? These sort of ideas. Okay, well, what about that must I be believing about myself in order to be defining that as a negative experience? Because what is humiliation? If people leave you because they don't like who you are, why would you want to be friends with someone that doesn't like who you are? If you're homeless on the street, well, how are you going to respond? What can you do about it? Why would that be even more likely than making money or being supported? Why in your consciousness would that seem like a more likely outcome than the positive outcome? Right? I'm going to die of starvation and loneliness and da 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 da. You really take it all back. Well, what is death? Right? What is your perspective on death? So the uncertainty and the ability to learn how to trust that you will be supported will bring up all beliefs that you may have been spoon-fed, been brought up with, taken from other people to look at and let go and realize they don't make any sense, right? So that's called integration. That's your process of integrating those aspects of yourself. So now you trust that you'll be supported versus trusting that you won't. So it's about just looking at what you're believing about what if I did surrender and just acted on my excitement. You look at those beliefs. As soon as you let those go, you have automatic trust. And all you need to do to let them go is discover what they are and neutralize them. Bring your awareness to them. Instantly, they won't make sense to you and you'll let them go. And that's your work. That's your process. And that's okay. And right on the other side of that is an automatic trust in the new positive belief. Right? So how this relates to abundance is simply, if I'm allowing myself to actually fully act on my excitement to the best that I can, then anytime that I come up against contrast, anytime I come up against a situation that may be the opposite of abundance, maybe it's a bill that I can't pay. Oh man, I'm in this abundant state. I'm acting on my excitement. I feel so fulfilled. I'm so supported. Oh man, I can't pay this bill. Well, in that moment, we say, most of us, well, I don't want to say most, but many people will say, oh man, this is proof that I'm not abundant. Oh man, it's not working, right? It is in that moment that how you respond to that situation determines the effect that you get from that situation. And so if you look at that bill and you go, okay, I intend to pay this versus I hope I can pay this. Maybe this will get paid. All this language that just doesn't serve. Okay, I see this here. I don't have the income to pay this right now, but I intend to. And so what is, and this is where you can take this quote future self or higher self or level 10 self is what I call it, and take that identity into this situation and go, how would my most abundant self respond to this moment, in this moment? And you actually sit with that and you go, okay, my most abundant self, and I like to use symbols like, well, if I knew $100 million was coming in this month, how would I feel? You know, or if I knew that everything was going to be taken care of no matter what, all my needs, how would I feel? And you can use some sort of symbol to just bring that into your body, that emotion of, okay, if I know I'm supported, and I'm starting to feel that way by saying, okay, what version of me do I decide to be right now? And it really is just decision. It's defining yourself in that moment. Use this moment of contrast to redefine who you are and then decide that's who you are and then respond that way. And I've had moments like this over and over and over and over and over, right? Where a bill comes up or something comes up and I go, okay, I see that there. I intend to pay that. Now I'm going to continue to act on my excitement. And boom, $10,000 manifestation. Whoa, $2,000 manifestation. A gift, an invitation, a relationship, a synchronicity, some imagination. All of those are forms of abundance. And so if you're open to all forms and no matter what situation pops up, you respond as if you know for 100% fact that you're going to be supported, which typically looks like witnessing the situation, not making it mean that you're failing, making it mean this is an opportunity for you to define yourself even more strongly, to redefine yourself and reinforce your identity even more strongly. So you go, oh, this is just a reminder of how abundant I really am choosing to be, even in the face of this. Okay, how do I want to respond? And then in that moment, you look around and say, okay, well, what's the most exciting next step in the now. And if that's where you act in that direction, you've literally just performed alchemy. You've just experienced a certain energy state, responded differently, and then that final action is what actually anchors it into physical reality. So you respond by acting on your passion anyway, knowing that you're going to be supported, not changing how you live and how you express passion because of a circumstance. You're doing it anyway, which is the true agent of change. I'm changing my response regardless of what the circumstance looks like. And so you move through it, then the reality has no choice because it's holographic, because it's a reflection. It has no choice but to reflect back to you the state of being in which you're putting out, because the universe, the reflection, doesn't have a mind of its own. It is simply a mirror. And so when you change first and smile first, the reflection has to smile back. There is no other way. It's just physics. And so understanding that and then putting that into action means you now know that. And because action is the language of physical reality, that is the conviction the universe looks for to say, oh, he's actually changed. Here's a reflection that will represent that. And so abundance is knowing that you're so supported. Even in those moments, if you don't feel supported, you're creating that and you're being supported in creating that. And it's no harder, or it's 100% equal to choose a lack of support than to choose full support. And so if you know that, it's not any harder to be deserving and worthy of receiving abundance in all forms, trading, gifts, synchronicity, imagination, money, and more. It's you can receive it in all forms, and you're deserving and worthy of that simply because you exist. There's no other reason. You don't need to do anything for it. You don't need to earn it. All of these are old ideas, right? If you know you deserve it, because of course you do, and you're open to receiving in all forms, then as you continue to act, even in the face of situations that are contrasting in this abundant way, you will always get a positive effect that comes in the form of synchronicity and abundance back.
Woo! It's like a giant mic drop. So good and just so potent. I know that obviously in this realm, time is a little bit of a thing, but I think that there's just so much value inside of everything that you just shared, and to everyone listening to rewind and listen to that again, because there was quite a lot of content that we've just dove into and so many gold nuggets that you guys can choose from. But because I want to honor you and your time, I would love to just ask, how can anyone that's really resonating and that's really curious find out about you and really tune into your world and learn more about what you do and what you have to share?
Yeah. So I'm super active on Instagram. That's like my main platform. So you can, even if you're listening to this, you shoot me a DM. I'm super available. I get back to everyone. Might take a little time, but I'm highly responsive there. My website as well. And we have our retreat coming up in June, the 6th through the 12th, which Sophie will most likely be attending, which was really exciting.
Woo!
And is it right if I talk about that for a little?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so the retreat, really the intention of the retreat is to really anchor in the divine feminine. And the way that that's being expressed is through the idea of transformational living and leading. The retreat is called Ignite. So it's igniting and transforming the way we live and lead. And it's really about bringing people into their heart, teaching them wholehearted leadership frameworks to show up to their families or their organizations in a way that can not only scale and help everyone and everything grow, but do so in a very heart-centered, balanced, passionate and compassionate way. It's also deep work into integration, understanding some of these laws that govern nature and human nature, and really integration and transformation. So really powerful inner work, and then a whole skill set from Dusty Staub, also goes by Shine. He's had 30 years of experience in the corporate markets, working with AT&T, NASA, Coca-Cola, an amazing man, sold over 100,000 books. He's bringing his frameworks in that he has taught to CEOs and executives over the last 30 years to bring to everyday people for their life, their passion projects, their business, their family, whatever it may be, and also to executives, CEOs, and this sort of thing. And so if that sounds exciting, there's a website on my Instagram, or you can just go to ignitingtheheart.com. And yeah, that's about it.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, 100%. If any of this is resonating for you, lean in, check it out, and tune into that. If you have questions, reach out to me or reach out to Brandon. We're both very, very much loving to hear from each of you. So thank you again so, so much for just taking the time out of your day to tune in and just drop so many knowledge bombs for everyone listening. I know it's just so appreciated, and just loving on you big time, and I can't wait to see you soon.
Same. Thank you so much for having me, Sophie. I appreciate you. This is awesome.
You are so welcome. Until next time, guys.